It's been a few years since I've taught, so we'll see. I very much can go, though, on the faithfulness of God in the past, that he's faithful. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to make myself available. So I am very, very happy to be here with you this morning. I just love how, like, what was shared, the scripture before worship was just, like, so good. Like, even people in their old age, they can still bear fruit. I'm like, thank you, Lord. And then the worship songs, like, here I'm leading worship, and I saw them, but I didn't, like, really go through them and read the words of, you know, the lyrics, what was going to be sung. And so when Rachel asked me, I said yes. And then yesterday she found out I was also teaching. She's like, I'm so sorry. Like, are you sure? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I think my heart needs it. Like, I'm going to need to, like, just worship before. But the words were so good. So, so sweet. So I love the way the morning just all comes together. We're all being used with our different gifts. So something that has changed since the last time I taught. I did not need readers last time. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. I'm either going to wear them the whole time so I can read my notes and you guys are going to be blurry blobs, or I can do the granny thing and hang them off the end of my nose and go this way, or take them on and off. I'm not really sure, but so we'll see how that goes. But I don't know, like Yvonne and I were talking, but it's crazy how fast my eyesight went. Like it just, I think I turned like 48 or so. And it just super, super quick. Like, I'm like, I can't see that. I was like going back and back. Now I'm to the point where I've got like probably 20 pairs. They're all over the house. They're in every jacket, every sweater, in my purse, in my car. Like if I don't have a pair, I'm like, oh no. Like literally I need these, but my distance is still really good. So I can see all of you really nice. I don't have the type of glasses that has both. So just readers. So we'll see how this goes. But if you don't know me or who I am, she just shared a little bit about me, but my name's Dawn Hill. I've gone here, like Yvonne was asking, 43 years. I was 8 years old when my parents started going to Calvary Chapel Vista, and I was over on Hacienda. Rob was my junior high and high school youth pastor. Denise, I think I was like 12 or 13 when she discipled me and a few other girls. They've just always kind of been in my life. And they were in our wedding. But my husband, yes, is on staff here. He's been on staff here about 35 years. We have 5 kids, almost all adults. My oldest and youngest share a birthday. It's coming up soon. But my oldest will be 31 soon. My youngest is almost 17. And in between, I've got a 27, 24, and 21. So 2 boys, 3 girls. Yeah, it's fun. My youngest just got her driver's license about 2 weeks ago. My last one. I'm like, oh my goodness. Last night, because I was studying, I was at, you know, home and she wanted to go to church. And I'm like, well, you can take the car and you can go. She's like, okay. So I'm like, okay, but can you text me when you get there? She's like, yes. And then I'm like, okay. And then like, before you come home, can you text me again and let me know that you're on your way home? And she's like, yes, mom, I'll do it. So she got to church safe and got home safe. So praise the Lord. So that's me. I'm Dawn Hill. So let's pray and then we will get into our study. Lord, thank you so much for, God, just how beautifully you do orchestrate, Lord, the work that you are doing, God. I just am a vessel, a tool here this morning, one part of the morning of all the beautiful things that you're knitting together. And I'm just so thankful, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. I pray that your word would really just minister to us, each of us, where we're at. And I'm included, God. I feel like I've taught before and I leave and I'm like, wow, like that ministered to me because it's your spirit speaking. And so Lord, I just ask that you would come join us, be a part of our morning, Lord, and that you would just let it be clear what I'm teaching and God, that you would, again, you would minister to these ladies. And so we give you our morning in Jesus' name, amen. So we are in Jeremiah, if you have a Bible or Bible app or whatever you have. And we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8 this morning. So the title in my Bible, like above the verses, said, Wisdom from the Lord. I'm like, oh, I like that. Verse 5 starts, it says, This is what the Lord says. And in the King James or the New King James Version, it says, Thus saith the Lord. And I was like, oh, and got one that's something like that, it's like, okay, I better listen. So are you ready? Are we listening? God has something to say, and we need to turn our ears and our hearts toward him to listen this morning. And remember the title, it's Wisdom from the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I need all the wisdom that I can get. So let's read and listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says. So starting in verse 5, it says, "This is what the Lord says, 'Cursed or miserable are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land.'" Verse 7, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." I like when the Bible uses contrast. I can relate. I like the picture, the visual of it. And so I like when it uses the contrast. And that's what Jeremiah does here. He's using two things that are like completely different to illustrate a truth. So Jeremiah uses the picture of a bush in a barren desert versus a productive and fruitful tree planted by the riverbank. And he uses the picture to illustrate what it's like when we put our trust in man and in our flesh rather than trusting in God. So we have a choice. It's like two things, like you can be here or you can be here. So who or what we put our trust in is dependent on where is it a trust in man? It's the desert. If it's trust in God, it's going to be that big, beautiful tree. So let's look at the illustration of the bush in the barren desert first. So it says there's three things. It says, cursed or miserable are those who, number one, put their trust in mere humans. Number two, who rely on human strength. Three, turn their hearts away from the Lord. So first, we'll look at cursed or miserable are those who put their trust in mere humans. The definition of trust is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. It's where your confidence is placed. It's a dependence on something in the future. It's where your hope is. So that's if you trust somebody. So we can take what Jeremiah says and the definition of what we just read of trust, and we could say that when we place our trust, our reliance, our confidence, our dependence, our hope in humans, we are not going to be happy. We're going to be miserable. And why? Because humans will fail us over and over. How many of you have been let down by another human? Me, yeah. And sad to say, I've been the one that lets people down. You know, it's like I try to be nice and kind and, you know, Yvonne was saying, I love helping people. That's my gift. Like, I just love helping people. And, but I've definitely let people down because I'm human. Second, Jeremiah says, cursed or miserable are those who rely on human strength. So what about you when you put your confidence in yourself, the arm of the flesh? You try to do things your way and in your own strength. We say, I got this, God. I'm good. I don't need you. I'm good. And what a mistake that is. How does that turn out? Usually, first of all, it's like exhausting because we are trying to do it in our own strength and we wonder why we're struggling and, ugh, you know, but so it's exhausting and it just usually just doesn't end well when we try to do it in our own strength, when we rely on human strength. 30 says, cursed or miserable are those who turn their hearts away from the Lord. So we can turn our hearts away from God, blatantly, where it's very deliberate. We are practicing sin. We are being just willfully disobedient to something God says or tells us to do. So there's that definitely is turning our hearts from God. But then I feel like there's like more subtle ways. There's just the way you are living your daily life and just not kind of aware of God being a part of it. And that is like a really dangerous place, I feel like, because the subtleness of it, you know, you're just doing your thing, living your life, but like he's there, God is there, right there. But we're basically like kind of choosing to ignore him. And I feel like that's a really dangerous, because you don't even know it, but slowly your heart can becoming, you know, hard. So we definitely, cursed and miserable are those who turn their hearts away from the Lord. Hebrews 3, 7 through 14 says, that is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years, God was like doing these like daily, these things for them that were miracles. But still they refused to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So definitely do not want to turn our hearts from the Lord. Let our hearts get hard. The things you do, your actions, the way you choose to live your life are either going to be independent of God, you're just doing your own thing, or dependent on God, where you seek him, you trust him, you're looking to him for, God, which way am I supposed to go? And the way you choose to live will determine the environment that you find yourself planted in. That's where we get those two pictures. You've got the desert, and you've got this fruitful tree. Those who choose to put their trust in humans and rely on human strength and turn their hearts from God, Jeremiah says they will be like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Stunted shrubs in the desert. I'm like, that just doesn't sound very great. Like, I don't know. There's nothing about that description that is appealing. The definition of a desert is an uncultivated region without inhabitants, a wilderness, a dry, barren, sandy region, naturally incapable of supporting almost any plant or animal life. Sound like a place you want to live? It says, the Middle English root of the word means forsaken or abandoned. It's a barren expanse of land or a wasteland. Again, just like doesn't sound like a place that I'd like to dwell or be planted. Some of the main characteristics of this desert environment, it's very arid, meaning very dry. There is a shortage or a complete lack of precipitation. So there's just not very much water at all. A desert has extreme temperatures. There's very little plant growth. And what does grow there grows slowly, because the process of what causes plants to grow is photosynthesis. That's where they take the sun's energy to make food for growth. But another part of photosynthesis is water. It needs water. And because water is in short supply, plant production in the desert is the lowest of any place on earth. Like if you go to a desert, that's going to be very slow growing and very little plant growth there. There's very little cloud cover because clouds are made of what? Water, moisture, yep. So you don't find a lot of that out there. Deserts are dry, but particularly the soil is dry. And just how dry it is depends on the air temperature, the wind, the soil type, amount of precipitation. It says a desert climate is one of which more water evaporates from the ground than the ground receives. So more water is being taken from the soil than is coming down. So that's desert. Every shrub is out there fighting to survive in a dry and inhospitable region. It's barren and alone. I thought this was so interesting, but one of the websites when I was, it's really fascinating. I was looking up plants and roots. I'm like, gosh, this is so cool. But it said that commonly in the desert vegetation, they're widely spaced out because of the lack of moisture. So I thought, like, that's just so interesting. Because like when you are turning your back from God, you're not trusting God, you feel so alone. You feel so, it's dry, barren. I mean, it's just, there's nothing good out there. Like you, no wonder why so many people are depressed and just, it's just sad. It's a sad place to be. It's not a place, ladies, where we want to be. So I don't know if they actually found one. I always kind of late on getting pictures. But do you have like a barren? Yeah. So there you go. Just dry, parched, no vegetation. It's not a place that I want to go temporarily or long-term. That's not the place. I want a vacation or stay long-term. The verse says, they will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. And that was another thing that I thought was super interesting. But did you know that plants, they hate salty soil? It says the salt will burn plants' roots and prevent them from absorbing water that's needed for healthy growth. So salts lead to compacted ground with poor aeration and poor drainage. Young plants are especially sensitive. It's interesting that all these verses, and I'm like, the real, like, when you're learning about plants, you're like, oh, like, it's just so good. It all makes sense. So independent of God, you will be a stunted shrub in the desert, or dependent on God, you will be flourishing, and you'll be a productive tree planted by the river. And so the question would be like, where are you placing your trust? In man, or is it in God? And then I just think how foolish we are when we put our trust in humans, to rely on human strength and to turn our hearts away from the Lord. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Like, I'm like, duh. Like, yeah, like, because, like, people, like we said, they'll fail us. And the two verses that come right after our text, what we're reading this morning, so Jeremiah 17:9-10 say, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And I'm like, why would we trust ourselves? Why would we trust man? Why would we trust ourselves when the Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick? So anyway, when we trust in man or ourselves or turn away from God, this will bring misery. It says cursed. The verse, it says cursed or miserable we will be. Jeremiah in our text is speaking to the Jews, and because they were relying on Egypt because out of fear of Assyria and Babylon, instead of relying wholly and completely on God. But we need to ask the question, like, who are we relying on? Who are we putting our trust in? Is it in man? Is it in the strength of our own flesh? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I like the amplified version too for that same verse, Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. So our trust and hope are not to be in man, but our trust and hope should be in God. So let's move to that portion of the illustration. The next part of Jeremiah's illustration is verses 7-8. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves, they stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. So again, we see three things that Jeremiah says. He says, blessed are those who, number one, trust in the Lord. Two, who have made the Lord their hope. And three, those who have made the Lord their confidence. So blessed are those who trust in who? The Lord. Yeah, not in man, not in ourselves, not in the earthly things. No, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Remember the definition, I read it kind of at the beginning, of trust is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone. That fits our Lord. We can do that. It's where your confidence is placed. We can place our confidence in him. It's a dependence on something in the future. God says, I have a future and hope for you. I've got a plan. It's like, okay. And it's where our hope is. It's supposed to be in God alone. A couple more definitions from that verse where it says hope and confidence. So definition of hope is a desire with expectation of attainment or fulfillment, to expect with confidence. It's a trust, a reliance. And the confidence, definition of confidence, is the quality or state of being certain, a relation of trust or intimacy. So blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. And if I'm being honest, there are definitely times where my hope and confidence is not in the Lord. I am feeling just discouraged and hopeless, dissatisfied, just an overall just disappointment. And it's usually because I'm looking at a person or a situation or something, you know, on this plane where I'm have some type of an expectation. And I love it because God is so gentle when he speaks to us, but he will gently be like, Dawn, where is your hope right now? And I have to go, oh, yeah, Lord, it's not in you right now. This is my hope, and they're going to fail. I know it. They're going to fail me. So it's like I have to turn my eyes back to Jesus, and I have to, whatever I've been dragging around, this burden, I have to be like, okay, Lord, I'm giving this back to you. I trust you. You're in control. And it's so, I feel like when I think of hope and waiting and placing my hope, all these things, I'm like, I can trust in God. Like, he is able to do whatever it is. And waiting on God, yes, I can wait on God. This situation, it's like maybe too overwhelming, but on God, I can wait. Placing my hope in God, yes, it's like those, it brings so much peace when we do this, when we like let it go, take our eyes off of this plane and go, oh yeah, God, you're in control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I love it. And it's, like I said, it's very easy to get caught up in. Like, we all live in this life. We've got our marriages. We've got our kids. We've got maybe work. Life can be messy and chaotic. But when we start having expectations on this level, it's never good. It's like our hope and expectation should be in Jesus Christ alone. Okay, so let's move on to the next set of verses. It's the next part of the illustration where it says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I thought it was interesting that it says these trees are planted. It's not like, and these trees are just growing here. No, it's like they're planted. Somebody had to plant them. And I feel like that's our choice. Where in this illustration, we are not trusting in God, or we are trusting in God. And here it's like, where do we want to plant ourselves? So a choice to trust in God. This choice plants you by the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water, or we can choose to harden our hearts, trust in man, and we're going to be in that parched desert. I read on a website, it was called Perfect Plants. Like, that's a nice name for a plant website. But it said, take care of your tree's roots and you take care of your tree. I'm like, that's interesting. Like, I don't ever really think, you can't see the roots. They're underneath the ground. You really don't ever consider what's happening under there. But take care of your tree's roots and you take care of your tree. A healthy root system is essential for a healthy tree. So I thought, this is just all fascinating. But what is the function of tree roots? Roots absorb water and nutrients. This is one of the most important life-supporting functions of the roots. Water and minerals absorb directly from the soil through the tree's root system into the stem to be distributed to the rest of the tree, its leaves, flowers, fruit, whatever your tree does, it's coming from the roots. And without healthy soil, a tree's roots will also be unhealthy, leading to a lack of nutrients needed to survive and support all tree functions. So it kind of reminded me of the parable that Jesus taught of the sower and the seed and God's word and how it goes. And there was, remember, the four different types of soil. There was the seed that fell on the footpath, seed that fell on the rocky soil, seed that fell amongst the thorns, and seeds that fell on the good soil. And it's really an important part of what God is doing in our lives is soil, like our heart condition. Is it hard? Is it receiving? Or is it soft and pliable and God can just do whatever he wants to do in our lives? Without good soil, roots will be unhealthy and affect the health of the whole tree. So another thing that roots do is they provide storage of nutrients and food. And this is especially important for plants and trees during the colder, dormant months or during times of year when the nutrients are in limited supply, like if there was a lack of water or whatever. So, but that's interesting too, that their roots actually, it's almost like a bear goes into hibernation, eats a whole bunch, and then he, you know, hibernates. And similarly, the roots, they kind of gather whatever nutrients and stuff they need to be able to get them through the hard times. So I thought that was interesting. With a healthy root system, the roots store what's needed to get them through. There are definitely times of drought in this life. There's going to be long, dry spells where on the surface, we wonder if and when refreshment's going to come. But the tree that is planted by the riverbank, such trees are not bothered by that heat or worried by long months of drought because their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And why? Because they have roots that are going deep. And because their roots are healthy, they are able to store up what's needed for that dry spell. The circumstances might look bleak, but their root system is nourished and fed by the river of life. That's where our strength and everything comes from, the river of life, from Jesus. He is the one that satisfies the thirsty soul. I just thought, what a beautiful picture that even in times of drought, if we're rooted and grounded in the Lord, if our trust and our hope and confidence are in the Lord, we are going to stay green and flourishing, and we will never stop producing. That is, should just bring you so much hope and like reassurance that, because life definitely has ups and downs, but if you right now have a strong foundation and if your roots are going deep into Jesus, it can get you through those hard times. Also, another thing that roots do, they anchor the tree to the ground. So when the storms hit, extreme weather conditions, they can often uproot trees. However, many will withstand such conditions, providing that they have strong and healthy roots. So the storms of life can feel sometimes like hurricane strength. I mean, they're just like, we're like, oh boy, we're like trying to hold on for dear life. But if we're rooted in the Lord, we're going to stand. Like the parable found in Matthew 7:24, the man who built his house on the rock, which is Jesus. The winds came and blew, but his house remained, which again was so beautiful because Rachel, we sang that song. The same concept is found here with your roots going deep and anchoring you in the midst of life storms. So another interesting fact about roots. Roots cannot grow where the soil is highly compacted. In fact, soil compaction kills more roots than just about anything else. When a portion of a tree's root system dies, a similar portion of the foliage and branches will die. Doesn't it just make you think of your heart? Like, again, if you have a hard heart, like the roots, they can't grow. They're not going to be able to get nourishment. We're not going to be satisfied from the Lord because of our hard heart. If the soil is our hearts, then we have to be careful about becoming hard-hearted. If the roots cannot receive water, receive the nutrients, it actually can kill some of the leaves and branches, which then made me think of the Jesus is the true vine. In John 15:1-8, it says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. He is the source, Jesus. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to have Jesus as a part of what's going on. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. So I think it's interesting that trees that are fruit producing normally, like the fruit trees I have in my yard, they have a season of bearing fruit. So my navel orange tree, I know that through the early months of winter, it's kind of, they're growing. And by like about January, I'm like, oh, it's orange season. I can go out and pick. And they're like super juicy, these oranges on my tree. But I thought it was interesting that this is, we never stop producing fruit. There's no, I mean, we can be trees when we are planted by the river and when we are trusting in God, that we are always in season, always, people can always come and pick fruit and it's going to be there, which is amazing. That's awesome. My neighbor, speaking of my orange tree, he has a lemon tree and he is very kind and he'll bring like bags of lemon over. Sometimes they're just like on the doorstep or whatever. So a couple weeks ago, I came home and he goes, "Hey, Don." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You have those oranges on your tree?" And I go, "Yeah." I go, "They're so good." I go, "They're like super juicy." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I wouldn't know about that." And I'm like, "Oh," I'm like, "I'm so sorry." I go, "Fernie," I go, "do you want some oranges?" He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay." I go, "I'll go, you know, get them." So I go get them and I give them to him. And he's like, anytime you want to, you know, give some to me. And I'm like, okay, I felt so bad. Like here, he's like this generous lemon giver and wasn't hoarding my oranges. I just wasn't thinking about it. So he's like, "You can just leave them on my doorstep anytime you think of it." I'm like, okay. So yes. But I love that when we're rooted in Jesus, that we can be all year long, we can be fruitful. The presence or absence of water makes the difference between barrenness and fertility. Like what we need water. And we know what Jesus says about water. There's the story of the Samaritan woman in John 4, where she comes to the well and he says, "You know, give me some water." She's like, "Well, you don't have a bucket." And she's wondering why he's talking to her because he's a Jew. And he says, so she says, "How can you ask for a drink from me? I'm a Samaritan woman, for the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman replied, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then will you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a fount of water springing up to eternal life." Jesus gives life-giving water. You will never thirst after receiving the living water. Jesus makes all the difference. A life lived where you have received his life-giving water and choose to trust to follow him, to stay near to the source of living water, you will be blessed. You will flourish. You will be fruitful. We need to choose Jesus. It's as simple as that. We need to choose Jesus. Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." So, what does the soil of your heart look like? When you examine your heart and what's going on in your life, are you feeling dry and parched and kind of just doing your own thing, trusting in your job, trusting in a relationship, all the things that are like on this plane? Because it's going to be very empty. It's going to be dry. It's not satisfying. It can feel, like I said, isolated. There's slow growth. You're not going to be doing anything great. It's very slow. Or are you planted by the river where the streams of life can give you everything you need? It's going to sustain you. It's going to help you to produce fruit. In the desert, dry places, that's the stunted shrub. It's the trusting in man, trusting in your own strength, with a heart that's turned from God. I hope none of you are in that place. But even if you feel like you're that place, I feel like I've felt that way before. You just feel alone and it's a desert, and you're just like, nobody knows I'm even here. It's just, you know. But it's so simple too. It's as literally as easy as, there's not a lot of work. You don't got to go out there and desert and dig it up. It's not anything. It's like literally, it's an attitude of the heart. It's going from your back from God, turning to God, just saying, "Lord, I need you. I have been relying on myself. I have been relying on man and repenting, asking. He's like right there. It's so easy. It's not a hard thing. Like today, if you're feeling dry, you can literally just say, Jesus, fill me. I need you. I want to be the tree planted by the river. There was... Amen, amen, amen. I think I was going to read like a little, but I think I just want to end it with that. I know they're going to do an interview, and I don't know what the homework looks like for this week, but use this week, though, to really seek the Lord and see what is the condition of your heart? What does the soil look like? Is it hard? Is it dry? Or are you allowing God to give you everything you need to grow, like I said, this beautiful, fruitful tree that's a benefit to, it's not only to you, but to others that are by you. That's a place, like, I don't know if they ended up finding a picture of a fruitful tree, but that would be a place, like, ladies, like, give me a little, like, blanket and picnic right there. I could just spend all day there, right? It's like, that is so inviting and so beautiful. Yeah, the roots, yeah, it's beautiful. There's the roots right there going into the water. So I hope, like, be encouraged that there's two choices, and it's, like, very easy. We can literally, every single one of us can be trees planted by the river, trusting in God, believing in him to do awesome things in our lives. So let's pray, and then we'll have the next portion come up. God, thank you so, so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can use the whole Bible to be able to pull together these different things that, Lord, that you want to implant in us and grow in us. All these different parables that Jesus, you taught. And it's just the word is so fascinating. It's so beautiful. I'm so grateful for it. So, Lord, I pray that the word that was spoken today, Lord, it would go into our hearts, Lord. Each of us, Lord, would have soft, pliable soil ready to receive, wanting our roots to grow deep into you, Lord. We don't want to rely on the arm of the flesh and our own strength, rely on man, trust in man. God, forgive us if we are in that state right now. Lord, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, help us, God, to plant ourselves just in you, Lord. We need you. It's all about Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, for our salvation and for just the love, God, your mercy, your grace. You are so awesome. So, Lord, forgive us for at times just turning our hearts from you. But we are choosing today to turn our hearts, our minds, put our affection, Lord, towards you. Lord, we love you so, so much. We ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.